intimidation tactics, registration restrictions, penalties against voter registration drives, voter purges, redistricting, reduction in polling places, restrictive voter ID laws, exorbitant fees for formerly incarcerated people to re-register, proof of citizenship laws. Can you believe all that? That is to prevent people from voting. Welcome to the Shrinks After Hours. I'm Julie Mayer.
And I'm Cindy Ariel.
And today we are going to be discussing some issues around voting and voter suppression, especially given the fact that our election is days away. And please vote. You know, though voting is supposed to be the core of our democracy, it's been interfered with by political parties vying for power for centuries. It's nothing new. What's going on today might be worse than it used to be, but it is nothing new, especially in African American communities.
Yeah, so I looked up some of the history, and through the 1700s and much of the 1800s, the right to vote was mainly given only to white property holders, and we all know that was white men. And just thinking about the hypocrisy right there, all men being created equal. So then, this is just a little interesting history. It might sound a little boring for a second, but it's not boring at all. The 14th Amendment was ratified in 1868 and guaranteed the rights of citizenship to slaves. But of course, Black people's rights were interfered with. So there were a lot of tactics used to keep them from voting. The poll taxes, literacy tests, fraud. So much so that they needed another amendment, the 15th, to specifically include the right of Black men to vote, which was added the following year. But it wasn't until 46 years later when the Supreme Court struck down the clause that you couldn't vote unless your grandfather voted, which was impossible for formerly enslaved people. And then, of course, women didn't get the right to vote for another 5 years after that in 1920. And even with all the previous amendments, methods of suppressing the vote continue today.
Yes, some of those are too few voting sites. The voting on a Tuesday, it's a work day for many people. It is not a national holiday. Why do we vote on a Tuesday? What is that? Intimidation tactics all the time. And I think they're going to be terrible if they aren't already this year. Registration restrictions, penalties against voter registration drives, voter purges, redistricting, reduction in polling places, restrictive voter ID laws, exorbitant fees for formerly incarcerated people to re-register, proof of citizenship laws. Can you believe all that? That is to prevent people from voting.
Yes, one of the things I read just about the poll tax, where you had to pay to vote, wasn't ended until 1964 with yet another amendment. And it was only after a lot of protests, marches, arrests, and even deaths, there was finally the 24th Amendment to get rid of the poll tax.
Wow, poll tax. On top of money problems, we have long wait times because there's too few voting sites and fewer than ever now. Too few machines, out-of-date machines, broken machines, absentee ballots not getting to voters. It just goes on and on.
Yeah.
We can't seem to fix this problem, however many amendments we do, right?
Right. So now what, an amendment to like stop tampering with the U.S. Postal Service?
Yeah, right.
Isn't that already an amendment? I think it is.
Well, it's, I think, a constitutional thing that it's illegal to tamper with the Postal Service.
Yeah. So, oh my God.
We're in bad shape, voting-wise, but it is nothing new.
Yeah.
So some things that we weren't aware of, I kind of assumed we lived in a free country where everyone had the right to vote. I knew vaguely about that like 3/5 law in the past about African American people, but I figured at this point in our evolution as a country, it was a free enough country that everyone has the right to vote. But given the list I just mentioned and all the amendments you just mentioned, I'm not sure we live in a free country.
were clearly not all free.
No.
The ridiculous gerrymandering, the intimidation that you talked about, the whole history of voting and voter suppression.
And then I think on top of all that, and maybe a major piece of it, is the Electoral College. It was developed, and I don't know the history really well, but it was developed by the founders as a way to protect against the ignorance of the mobs so that we had representational voting.
Because the people obviously don't know what's good for them. We need our, you know, kings to tell us how we should be.
So yes, a version of that that got altered in, into our...
Pretty much.
Our political system is the Electoral College. And it seems like it is way overdue to get rid of that. When I think about, now we've had a couple of presidential elections where the winner of the popular vote did not win the election. And that right. makes no sense to me.
It's craziness. And then because, I don't know why, but people always blame other people for whoever wins and whoever loses. I did read something about when Democrats lose, for example, some of them blame Black people because they say that they don't come out to vote.
Right.
But in the last three presidential elections, Black voter turnout was 60 to 66%,
That's
which
really
is way higher than white turnout, even in 2012, which was a big turnout.
Yeah, I hear that typically white turnout is about 25%. So that is a huge number, actually.
Mm-hmm.
66%. Wow.
I couldn't believe it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I mean, we could talk about voting in itself. It's so archaic. I know that this is the first year where we're doing way more mail-in voting, mail-in ballots than ever before, partly due to COVID, but also because there's been this progress along those lines. There are states that have had that for a while and that you get 2 weeks to vote with them, you know, or even in person. Like there's some progress being made. But I think about it like this is a country that can send people to the moon and to outer space and can build businesses and run them efficiently like Amazon and Google. And we cannot come up with safe remote voting of any kind. Why can't we? I don't understand it. It's the same thing as so many other things where if you think about the reasons why this hasn't happened, there is embedded racism.
Well, and it's one of the reasons why people don't have a lot of trust in the voting process or in our government or in the systems that we follow.
Well, it's true. This free country has never adopted adequate policies. We haven't enforced them for full voter protection. We just don't. And right now, I'm sure you're all aware, if you're listening to us, the opposite has been the policy of the current administration.
Yeah.
Another big issue around voting, I think, as a psychologist, and I think you would agree with me, Cindy, is just the psychology around being able to vote because of the intimidation. I think at this point, a lot of people are afraid that the voting machines have been tampered with by Russia or China or by the current administration, that they've been hacked, that the U.S. Postal Service is under attack. And I think a lot of people feel helpless, and I'm worried that that will make them just give up.
I think that is one of the reasons that people might give up, and that's very unfortunate, you know, because voting is considered the gold standard of civic participation. And yet, and people who are either afraid or who lack trust and in the system or are cynical about the vote, you know, they get vote shamed. Rather than getting like our support and our help in actually trying to change these things and make it so that people, you know, can trust the government. You know, all of the systems of voter suppression that we've mentioned that continue, our system of mass incarceration that leaves, you mentioned that, it leaves so many people disenfranchised who can never vote again.
They can't participate in civic society, even though they have been redeemed, they're out.
Yeah. And they're smart, they have good opinions, we need their voices. So there needs to be, I think, a lot of basic improvement and trust building in our government and through the processes of our democracy.
Do you remember growing up, I have clear memories of this, when my dad would go to vote, I would go with him, and it was this big, exciting thing, like I'd go in the voting booth with him, and he would let me press the buttons, and it felt like this meaningful, significant thing, and this way of participating in the country's, in the democracy.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it. It was like a fun thing to do.
Yeah. Maybe
because I was going with my dad, but I, you know, even as an adult, I kind of get excited on election day. I want to go vote. It's fun. It's not fun because I'm scared about who the opponents are and I'm scared about where the country's going. It's fun because I can take action and do something to contribute to the larger good.
Well, I think that's the thing we're learning, that it's not our only opportunity. I mean, but there are a lot of other things that we can do. And that's another thing with like people who feel untrusting or cynical. I mean, they can do lots and lots of things, and we have to do lots and lots of things to welcome them into the process.
Well, that's kind of what I'm saying. Like, I want people of color to think of Election Day as this exciting opportunity, like I grew up feeling.
But in order for people to feel that, they have to feel really included in it.
They have to feel included and also not intimidated, not scared. You have to really want to vote to overcome feelings of intimidation and fear.
For sure. Yeah.
That's a lot to ask of people.
It really is. That's why the vote shaming isn't a positive experience either, but somehow, I don't know how to make it a positive experience for people, but there are major organizations and people, you know, really working on that. And I'm very interested in that.
Yeah. I think that's really the key. I went to this website, which we will put on our website, called racialequalitytools.org, and it lists all kinds of ways that people can work on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
There are organizations that are watchdogs. They're going to be at polling places. There are a ton of attorneys ready to fight about, you know, who won and how that's going to be worked out.
Yes.
There are a lot of people who never YouTube before Trump was president now volunteer at the polls and participate in that way. And there's always the encouraging, not shaming, but encouraging people to vote so that there's a landslide. I think, you know, I know people who do voter drives. I mean, literally drive voters,
yeah.
Pick them up and drive them to the polling places every year.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can't get there easily, like elderly people and students who don't have cars, and you know, just making it easier for people to vote is one way to serve our democracy.
Absolutely. And also making sure that it's meaningful and trustworthy. I found a couple of organizations. One is trustthevote.org.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one called americanprogress.org that's working to build a system based on pro-voter policies and practices that drive participation by all eligible voters. So there's anti-gerrymandering groups and watchdog groups like you mentioned. And I really have to say, if we want people to vote, we also have to offer them inspiring options that are representative and move a lot away from the lesser of two evils model and
yeah.
Fundamentally work towards societal change in our whole system of government at all levels. I mean, that's really what I believe.
I absolutely agree, although I feel like in this particular election, lesser two evils right now. After that, let's have more conversations about it, okay? Another thing that people can do is keep trying to encourage congressional action against gerrymandering, you know, protections against intimidation, protection of the postal system.
Keep it up. No matter what happens this election, no one goes back to sleep. That is key.
Yes.
No one goes back to sleep, no matter what happens.
Yeah. Can't sleep on the job.
No. Next week's the vote, or a couple days from now or something. So
the vote is coming up very shortly. So on November 3rd, as usual, a Tuesday, if you want to participate, check out these websites. Think about how you could support your community in getting the vote out and supporting those people who want to go vote, preventing intimidation, countering it. If you stay at your voting site and just hang out in a group, anyone who's there to intimidate will be not in charge. You know, you will be countering them. So think about ways that in the immediate moment you can protect the right to vote for all of us.
So we have run out of time for today, but please check out our website, shrinksonthird.com. You can also find us on social media at Shrinks on Third on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And until next time, Take care.
So long.